What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 51 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, where we talk about all of the tech from the previous week and everything that we've been checking out. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps this podcast keep on going. With me this morning, as pretty much every Friday morning, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How are we doing today?
I am extremely sick, if you guys haven't noticed. I'm not feeling so well. So if I sneeze during the podcast, I do apologize. I've gotten one of those crazy, I wouldn't say crazy, but one of those just like tough winter colds where it's not like throw up sick, but it's just like I'm always stuffed up. I'm really tired. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I feel it was that way when we got back from Vegas. So.
Yeah, and I did just get back from a trip, so I might have gone on the airplane. I don't know.
More than likely. It's always the nasty airplane or the dirty airport.
Yeah, we're just like the change of climate is a big thing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's big. Was it? So you were in Florida, right?
I was in Florida.
Real nice?
I loved it. I don't know why I came home. So I was in Florida for about 4 days. It was amazing. And then I came back, and it's freezing here, so. That could have a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, but definitely not probably feeling that positive.
Oh, I mean, I was fine, but then, like, this all kicked in, and it's just not fun, so.
Right.
Especially when you have, like, a million things to do, you know, and trying to get things done and feel good about it, and you're just tired and cranky.
All kinds of tech stuff going on, and you can't even play with it.
I know, right? So, besides me being sick,
right?
We'll jump into some reviews this week. And you had a review that we've been talking about for a couple weeks now that you did finish, which is the NZXT Manta, which is NZXT's first mini ITX case, first small form factor case. And I believe it's the industry first that uses curved steel panels on the side, or all pretty much on all sides. So if you want to tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, like you said, it ticks off a bunch of firsts for NZXT, which is pretty cool. And we checked this out since they did like the little press release in Las Vegas at CES. So I was really excited for this case. I really like small form factor. I like having my case on my desk, and I like fitting as much stuff into it as I can. So yeah, as you said, it's got those crazy curved side panels on it, which. They had to work really long and hard with manufacturing to do, because I guess it's a really hard process to bend steel like that. So you won't find another case anywhere that's actually steel panels on the outside and curved like that. They pointed out to us, like, you'll see like curves and stuff on cases, but it's always a plastic piece added to the outside with, well, this is actual steel in it. Like, honestly, this is like one of the most solid cases I think I've ever checked out. So I was really impressed with it. It feels like so solid. The all the curves add like extra room behind the panels too, so like all your cable routing and everything was like really easy because you didn't have to like get it really like close to the back of the motherboard tray, so that was cool. It also the windowed front panel part curves out, so that also adds a little room for like bigger air coolers or whatever you'd want to do up there as well. So not only are the curves cool looking, but they actually add functionality as well. Overall, I thought it's a really well-built case. There's just a few little things that I had to ding it for. It's designed for water cooling. It doesn't exactly make it easy. You have to have specific equipment for it. So I actually was not able to water cool this for my review, which was disappointing because I really like to do that. It's got specific mounting points for reservoir and a pump combo. But other than that, I couldn't find anywhere to mount a pump, and so I think that that's kind of an issue when you're like kind of going for the water cooling deal with your case. Like it was specifically designed to be water cooling friendly, and I kind of was disappointed with that. But for radiators, it actually has plenty of space. The front you can mount up to 280 millimeter, up to 50 millimeter thick, I think. Rads in push pull, so that's pretty cool due to the fan mount on the outside of the front of the case. So I really like that. You can get up to 280 in the top as well, 120 in the rear exhaust. So it's got potential, but you're gonna have to do a little bit of like your own custom possibly custom, maybe modding work to get it, certain equipment to work in it. Otherwise, you're gonna have to go and pick up one of those tuberous combos.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing with a lot of cases is while they're made for water cooling, say they are, there's specific parts that just won't fit inside. And I think we see that a good bit.
Yeah,
It's
initially I thought like for sure this is gonna be like super easy. There should be tons of space under the PSU shroud. But once you get your power supply in there, and granted, I have a 1350 watt power supply, so it's a pretty big power supply.
Yeah.
But once you get that in there and you get all your cabling in there, it only left like a f 2 3 inches in between it and the front fans. And I just would still have to put a radiator in there as well as the fans. And so it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was disappointing.
It seems like for their first small form factor case, I think it did a pretty good job. And I think they did a good job with where the hard drive placements are and all of that. Because, I mean, I've reviewed quite a lot of small form factor cases, and they're not done well.
No, you're absolutely
Internally, they're
right.
not done well. They're just, it's just like one of those things where you're like, how did they not, like test this or something like that? And it just makes it really, really hard to do installation. And it didn't seem like your installation was that hard at all.
No, like you said, they did put a lot of time into this interior. The hot swap trays for the solid state drives are like flawless. That works super simple. It has two mounting points for hard disk drives, one behind the motherboard and then one below on the bottom of the case under the power supply shroud. The only caveat to that is that those 3.5 inch drives, they are just screw mounted, so it's not like it's a hot swap thing or any quick mounting system, but it is really nice. I did not expect to put a 3.5 inch drive in this case, and there was plenty of room for it. It is pretty big on as far as small form factor goes.
Yeah.
Liter wise, it's a lot of people wouldn't even consider it small form factor, but it is that MITx only design, so it definitely, is considered by a lot of people small form
Yeah, I
factor.
think we see a lot of cases like this, though. I think a lot of people want that mid-tower look, but that mini ITX form factor, right? I think,
It's yeah, as far as the board goes.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think obviously the curved panels add a lot of more room too,
Yeah, as far
right?
as your actual liter size, they're gonna definitely add a lot of room.
Yeah, for sure.
It's certainly not like a lot of people were like this thing is like massive compared to small form factor. And while there are like some of the Lian Li cases that are, just like tiny, it's definitely not that. Comparing it to mid towers and other small form factor cases, it's really not that big at all.
Yeah, and the thing is too is this is made to be a performance case. It's
Right.
made for heavy duty graphics cards, full size power supplies, lots of storage in there as well. So when we see cases like this, they are a little bit bigger. Those Li and Li ones you're talking about, a lot of them they only support SFX power supplies. You can maybe fit a full size graphics card in, but it's not going to be cold that well. There's no room for water cooling at all in the other ones.
Right.
Even AIOs, there's usually not a lot of room in a
Right.
lot of these small form factor cases. So I think they achieved what they really wanted to with this case. As far as the size, as far as obviously the curved panels and the looks, and Mini ITX is becoming extremely popular. It's one of the best form factors for people who want a single graphic, single
Right,
card
right.
system that they can obviously take with them to LAN parties or something like that, or even just build a desktop, like you said, that's not going to be a huge, super huge tower. And
Yep.
I think they did a great job on it. Obviously, with some of the issues that you pointed out, though, can be changed maybe in a future version.
Yeah, they're such minor things. That's why I still gave it a 9 out of 10, right? Yeah, it's got these little quirks to it that I was just like, oh man, if only. But they're all like you can work around them with just a little bit of elbow grease.
Yeah.
So like I still gave it a 9 out of 10. And because everything else, it's such a solid case. It's so well built. The paint is so nice. It really is. I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely go ahead and check out Derek's review. That was one that he took a lot of time on. So definitely go ahead and check it out.
And my first video.
And Derek's first product video, so you want to check that out. That's
Yeah.
also in the review. So
Gonna watch me
definitely
struggle.
let him know how you like that. He was a little nervous doing it, but I think he did a good job. So definitely check it out. And I took a look at some pretty cool Bluetooth headphones this week. These are the Kinevo Urban. And these are a pair of $99, wireless Bluetooth headphones. What's really cool about them is they support NFC too. So
Oh,
if you
really?
have a device that has NFC, instead of trying to go into your Bluetooth settings and do whatever, you just tap and it will instantly pair, which is really nice.
Yeah.
What's
Does that mean they're Wi-Fi? I didn't, or is it just Bluetooth?
It's just Bluetooth.
Okay.
But
'Cause like
the
that'd be pretty cool if you had a Wi-Fi headset that you could just
Yeah.
run over your Wi-Fi, but
No,
yeah.
it's just
Okay.
Bluetooth, but it works really they work really well. And what's cool is they're not overly large. So the ear cups are designed to sit on your ear rather than over your ear, which actually makes them extremely comfortable for long periods of time, because when you have headphones that go over your ear, they kind of get irritate they kind of irritate the outside of your ear a little bit over time. And these don't do that. They still have really impressive sound too. So a lot of Bluetooth headphones that I've reviewed, you have to have them turned like all the way up to get like really good sound. These, you don't have to do that. They have controls on them as well, so you don't have to deal with you don't you can have your phone sitting across the room and you can change. It has they have a microphone on them as well, so you can go ahead and take a call if you want. It's not the best quality because the microphone's built into the headset, but it's still if you still have that ability to do that. It takes about 2.5 to 3 hours to fully charge these, and then they'll give you 20 hours of listen time, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Are they
And
heavy?
they're not heavy at all. They're pretty light.
Okay.
They fold up nicely too, and they come with a really nice carrying case. So you have all, it's just these are perfect for travel. I actually took them to Florida with me when I was down there, and used them on the airplane, and it's just
Yeah, how were
awesome.
they on the flight as far as keeping all air background airplane
Okay,
noise, flight
so
noise?
they're not going to be, they're not by any means like,
Sound canceling.
yeah, sound canceling, but they do have really good sound isolation, which I was surprised about because, again, they sit on your ears rather than over your ears. But they do have good sound isolation. Again, not what you would expect from like a headset specifically made for that, but they still did a really good job.
Nice.
And they're, like I said, the $99. I think Kinevo is actually running a deal where you get $50 off.
Wow.
It's
So $50 for a solid set of Bluetooth headphones right now?
yeah. So it's really good. And again, they do come with a carrying case, which I really liked. And it's a heavy carrying case, so these aren't going to get damaged or anything like that. So
Cool.
yeah, I really like them.
Solid feel
Yes.
to the plastic.
Yeah, they are made of plastic. That was the only downside I had with them. But they are pretty sturdy plastic. It's not like this really, really cheap stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a good overall feel, and I feel the price is justified for what you're getting. So I like them, and I will be
Awesome.
using them in the future. So
Awesome.
yes. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a really cool themed build, and this build is themed after Far Cry Primal. And I have to say, this is a pretty cool build. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's one of the only builds that I've seen that uses a skull, like a real skull.
Is it that's an actual skull?
Well,
Or just
no.
it looks like one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the Far Cry series, it's a game. And I believe Far Cry Primal comes out soon.
Yeah. If not already.
Yeah, if not already. And this is a really cool build because we see a lot of themed builds, but this one kind of took it to the next level because he designed the inside of the case to look like, I don't, what do you want to call it? Like, actually
It's
part of the kind of,
like a like an environment set sort of.
yeah, like the environment set. It's kind of like a movie prop if you would think about it like that. It's cool that he still did water cooling and all that, but he kind of matched it. Which is really cool. And even like the orange fans and everything kind of go with the kind of environment that he has everything set in. Awesome paint job on the case as well as the motherboard memory and the SSD that he has in there. Really awesome paint job on those. I really like that.
Yeah, he used like some well, it's brown, like kind of textured paint to make things look like it's dirt, like it's dirty or it is dirt, you know. So he painted a lot of the parts different colors. It's just it's not like a it's not one of those over the top water cooling builds. It's not impressive in what the PC componentry or the case modding, but it's like he built a little mini like set inside the case.
Yeah, and I really like that. I don't think we see that enough. I don't
No,
well,
it's really unique.
I don't think we see it executed this well enough.
Right.
I think he matches that Far Cry look pretty much perfectly. And the water cooling is done well, which is, a lot of people, they either do like the kind of do the what you call like the environment really well, but then the rest of the case is just crap.
Right.
I think everything here is just done perfectly. The water cooling's done really well. I think I'm gonna sneeze, guys. Like, I feel a sneeze coming on. In case I sneeze, we'll
Yeah,
do
so
this.
he's got rigid tubing and he's got good angles and everything on it, and it's yeah, it just if it doesn't like stand out, but that's good because it's supposed to be part of the set, so
Yeah, that's what
it
I like about
definitely
it. It was
yeah.
like none of the components stand out because they're made to be in this, as you said, scene, which looks really, really cool. And he put like fake plants and stuff in there.
Yeah, little bits of moss and
I thought that was just really cool. And it's not often we see something like this. I thought it was really, really cool. And it just looks like, again, it just looks like a set. It looks like something, like if you would close your eyes, it would be like you're in the game. I thought that was really
yeah.
cool.
And I think like it, sitting on your desk with a window on it, this would probably look kind of like a terrarium or something. Is that the
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
totally. That's another. I think it's another reason why I liked it too. It's just like that, and just matching the water cooling color to match the whole scene is, I think, is really cool.
Definitely.
Definitely a cool build for sure. One of the more different ones. We see a lot of crazy builds, but I think this one's just different. That's why I really liked it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely worth like spotlighting this type of build, because yeah, it's different, it's unique, so.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely check out Case Mod Friday, guys. We been covering case mods for over a year on there, probably a lot longer than that as too. So, if you're looking for inspiration for a build or you want to see what's possible that you can do with a case, go ahead and do that because we have quite a lot on there.
Yeah.
We feature one every Friday, and if you want to submit one, we have a place where you can submit your build as well. So, definitely
Yep.
check it
We
out.
actually love that if you submit your own.
Yes,
It's a lot of fun.
for sure. So we will get into news, and I didn't sneeze yet, which is good.
Awesome. Good work.
Yes. So first off, we have EVGA came out with their GeForce GTX 980 Ti VR Edition. Basically, this isn't a new graphics card per se. It's the same graphics card, so it's GTX 980 Ti, and they'll be offering it in their one that has the ACX.
Lower and yeah.
Yeah,
Sorry, yeah.
they have the typical one, and then they have the one that has the ACX version, and then it will come with a 5.25-inch drive bay component that has two USB 3.0 ports and an HDMI out. So you don't have to, if you're doing VR, you don't have to go behind your system and connect it directly to the graphics card. You kind of use this front panel, and that also connects the USB to your VR device, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought this was really gimmicky at first, but it's kind of smart because they put the HDMI on the opposite end of the card, so you don't have to go around to the outside of the case to plug that HDMI in. It just seamlessly will go to that front panel. Just really, really smart.
So it works really well. I think, a lot, surprisingly, a lot of people are doing VR, and it's becoming more affordable for a lot of people too. So you can, this just makes it easier so you don't have to go around to the back of the case.
Yeah, not that I would exactly call a 980 Ti an affordable card,
True.
but I mean, this is still going to be what, probably $800 range.
Yeah, something like that. But still, I think that they're just making it easy for users of VR,
Oh, yeah.
so they don't have to go behind their case. You know, in the thing is, if you are going into VR, right? You're like, okay, I'm getting a VR device. I need to upgrade my computer. This is be the card that you're gonna get.
Yeah, I think it's no-brainer.
So I think it's good that they did that. I'm not sure. We don't have pricing on it yet. No. No pricing on it yet, but it will be, probably a little bit more than their current GTX 980 Ti's.
If probably close to the original launch price of the 980 Ti, I would guess.
Yes.
Because they've obviously come down a little bit. The only thing I would caution with this is that we are going to see Pascal-based cards here in what, April? April, May. So maybe not the best time to go out and grab a 980 Ti, but if you're buying a card now and you're going to run VR, this is probably one of the ones to get.
So it all depends on what you're kind of what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll see more VR additions from a lot of different manufacturers, and even when the new stuff comes out, we'll see VR additions as well. So,
Yeah. Which is cool because
yeah.
VR is epically awesome to
I
those who have played it.
I'm I know I'm I don't see what the whole big deal is.
It's because you've never done it.
I know. I don't want to stand there and I don't know.
I'm going to like renovate my basement just so that I can build like a VR space.
Are you serious?
Pretty much.
That's kind of crazy.
It's dude, it's that good.
It's the future.
It is.
Well, talking about the future, this week a $1,700 AMD Polaris next gen graphics card was spotted in a shipping database. So a lot of times when we get leaks, it's because people are crazy and they search through these shipping databases and they find certain products. And this one was interesting because based on the price per unit, it's a $1,700 Polaris. From what we know, it's a Polaris based card or circuit board
Now,
assembly.
why do we think, oh, because of the product number, the chip number?
Yeah, the chip number. So
Okay.
in the past we saw, so the chip number on this one is C99.
Right.
And in the past, ones that we knew were Polaris, they were C98, C91, and C92.
Okay.
So this one is C99, and the price per unit is around $1,700, which is very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And this one, in the code name, it says FOC, which we think stands for full operational capacity. So we're not exactly sure what this is. We know from everything that we've gathered, we know that it's a Polaris-based card from AMD. We don't know exactly what it is. Based on the price, it's either a super high-end single card or it could be
Yeah.
even a dual GPU card. We're not sure.
I think it has to be dual GPU.
Yeah, I mean, for that price,
There's just the what that would be the most expensive consumer-based single card GPU, wouldn't it, ever launched? I don't think Nvidia's launched anything that expensive.
I don't believe so.
So it's, yeah.
And the thing is, this could be the price right now,
Yeah.
obviously, too. You have to think about.
Do you think they would claim it that high on, like, because this is what a custom slip, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Like, wouldn't you think they'd claim it lower than it's actually? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's just what was found out about this. We're not exactly sure. But it's cool to see this because this just shows that Polaris stuff is coming.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of AMD fans are definitely just waiting for Polaris to see what it's all about.
And something massive from Polaris as well.
Yes. So this is definitely exciting for AMD fans, especially ones looking for the high end. This is the super high end, so.
I think that this would be a brilliant move by AMD if they actually launched a dual GPU card at launch, because usually we see them 6 months after, right?
Yeah.
Or more kind of as an afterthought. If you actually launched it right alongside all of your other flagships, it would be, I think that would be really smart of them. Because Nvidia probably isn't going to bring one right away.
Yeah, NVIDIA's not going to bring one right away from what we know. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of interesting to see this. Obviously as we get more information, we'll let you know. But this was very surprising to us when we first saw the news, so definitely interesting for sure. So we would talk about graphics cards, and a lot of new graphics cards are going to be using the newer GDDR5X, which is the next generation of GDDR5. We're not going to see all of the new graphics card be being based on HBM or HBM2. So as you go down through the product stack on both AMD and NVIDIA side, you're going to see a lot of graphics cards use the newer GDDR5X. So with that, Micron put up a little blog post saying that they're going to be commencing mass production of GDDR5X this summer. So the cool thing about GDDR5X is that originally GDDR5 was right around 8 gigabits a second data transfer. This the new GDDR5X will be 13 gigabytes a second transfer, and they're looking to get it up to 14 actually. And it uses the exact same amount of power, which is cool. So you're basically getting a little bit under twice as much performance for the same in the same power envelope, which is nice. So it's good to see Micron will be ramping up their production. Come summertime, we'll have full production going on. So that's going to be exciting because, again, a lot of these graphics cards that are going to be coming out are going to use GDDR5X because it's less expensive than HBM2.
I'd be much more excited about GDDR5X if HBM2 didn't exist, but that's still really cool memory, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a lot of people are just like, oh, I want HBM2, you know. But
It's, I mean, it's an improvement over GDDR5, so that's something.
So it's nice to see the improvement. You know, sadly, a lot of cards are going to use it. You know, we're only going to see the top end cards use HBM2, from what we know. So expect to, you know, if you're looking in that mid range card, it's going to be
Yeah.
GDDR5X. So
980 and below.
yes,
Or not.
I mean
From what we've heard.
from what we've heard, it's going to be 980 and below, or the 980 equivalent and below. So
Yes, exactly.
So moving on to Intel, we talked about it last week about Intel blocking overclocking on non-K Skylake CPUs. You know, it was a big thing when we found out that you were able to overclock non-K CPUs using the BCLK. And now it looks like Intel is blocking that. So they sent out a microcode update to motherboard partners, which plugs that loophole. So if you get the latest BIOS from your motherboard manufacturer, it will actually block that. So basically, if you want to keep it and you want to continue to overclock, don't download the latest BIOS or turn auto BIOS updates off so you don't get it. This kind of makes sense because it basically, I mean, Intel doesn't want to have to. It's a big warranty thing, I think, a lot with this, and I think it's a big.
Overclocking chips that aren't designed for it.
I
I
think,
don't know. Maybe.
you know, because that's why they make the K versions, because those ones are the ones that are made to be overclocked. You know,
I guess, but overclocking came from you know, increasing the clock speeds on chips that were never designed to do so.
very
Like,
true.
so I don't know. I think this is, I personally feel this is more of a money grab. They're not interested in having their much cheaper chips perform at the price of, you know, more expensive
Oh, of
ones,
course. Of
because
course
that's,
not.
you know, that was overclocking, you know, that gave you more bang for the buck if you knew technically what you were doing. And I think that they've kind of, I don't, what would you even say, branded overclocking with the K's, you know,
Yeah,
like
oh yeah.
they've marginalized it into you must pay to overclock.
Exactly. Yeah, they've done that. I mean, that's part of it too. I think it's the two things. I think it's exactly what you said, and then obviously they don't want to have warranties on products.
Yeah, I think you're still absolutely right about that.
Yeah, so I think it's both of those things. You know, we get these little things while we can, you know, and again, this is all if you already have a BIOS that supports it, keep that BIOS, don't update, and you'll still have the overclocking.
Or just go in and download that BIOS and hold it. I mean, you can try the new BIOS and see if it you know, improves your system to the point where it's not worth it to overclock, but it's not like you can't roll back to it.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, most of these BIOSes by now are pretty stable unless something new comes along, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep your same BIOS, still do your overclocking, have fun with it. You know, just if you download a new BIOS, it's not going to be available anymore, so.
Yeah, I mean, still follow the old rule. If there's nothing wrong with your PC, it's not running wrong, don't mess with your BIOS.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's kind of a bummer for everybody who was doing base clock overclocking or had thought about doing it. Yeah. You know.
So. I think the biggest thing is buying future boards and having to, you know, roll them back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's the big thing with it. So
it's they'll all ship with that.
Yeah,
they're blocked out now.
Yeah, they'll all ship with the newer BIOS installed. So. So kind of a bummer, but again, there are ways around it. Just mm-hmm. with anything, there's always ways around it if you really want to do it. So.
Yeah,
that is at least one good thing about it.
Have they come straight out and said we won't honor warranty on those parts if they're overclocked?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I think it's just a deterrent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they
to make it less easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is. So. All
right. Well, fair enough, I suppose. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see. You know, I think that. I think it's just like, again, it's the two things that we said, and I think that they're just making it harder for users to do it so they don't, in the future, they don't have to deal with the warranty issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or just they don't want to have more people returning them because they've broken them because of overclocking.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes sense that way, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving from CPUs to cases, Fantex released their Eclipse series, you saw at CES. The Eclipse series is made up of the P400 and P400S, and the S is the silent edition. Right. And they'll be available in white, gray, and black. And actually, yep. I actually have one sitting here that I haven't even opened. So I'm pretty excited mm-hmm. to take a look at that in the next coming weeks.
Do you have a 400 or a 400S?
I honestly have no clue.
Oh.
Because they sent it in a big box that has the case box inside.
Right, yeah.
So I literally haven't even opened it.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty excited. This is their entry level. So Fantex primarily has been kind of higher end cases for the most part.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They've kind of catered to everything, but this is definitely entry level.
Yeah, so you saw more of this than what I did. Yeah, the price, it's still $79. What am I looking at?
It's, yeah, I mean, in the world of, like, decent $40, $50 cases, I don't know where this fits exactly, right? Because we saw that last summer, wasn't it? Pretty much all last summer.
Yeah.
A lot of really, really decent entry-level cases. You probably are going to get a little more, you're going to get every penny. You know, there's going to be a feature behind it, right, with Fantex.
Yeah.
I've never seen a case from them that wasn't, like, fully thought out and, you know, just well built. You're just going to, like, you're only going to get two fans in this, and that's going to start to take the price down a little bit. But otherwise, this was a solid case. It really was. It's steel, so you're not going to get aluminum. It's I believe the exterior. I'm trying to remember.
It comes with
full metal exterior. Yep.
RGB lighting with interior lighting strips. It says this is pretty cool.
Optional interior lighting strips. Yeah, it doesn't come with the interior lighting, but the front panel has a light that shines down out of the front of it onto the ground.
That's cool.
By the front of the case feet. So it was pretty cool and.
It has a 3-speed fan controller too, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a picture of the top of it. It looked good. It was a good looking case.
Yeah, it's good to see. You know, I think when we see really good entry level cases, it raises the bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because for the longest time, between $50 and $80 was like the shit cases. They were like, you know what I mean? Like
you had four walls or, you know, six walls and that was it.
Yeah. So it's good to see that. We know Fantex for great cases, great interior design as well. So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at this. I have, like I said, I have it sitting here. I'll be reviewing it over the next couple weeks. to see what it's all about. So definitely stay tuned for my review. And obviously, I'll be doing a full overview video when I'm not sick. So yeah.
Slows you down a little bit when you're sick.
Yes, for sure. I've been like holding in this sneeze, which hasn't come out yet, which I'm kind of surprised. So hopefully I don't sound horrible on this podcast, guys, but try to hold it in here.
Yeah. So you can... if you are looking at these, my personal favorite is that the anthracite gray is a really good color if you're kind of shopping them with the windowed panel. White's always great, but I really, really like that gray. I actually have one of their other cases here in that same gray, and it is a fantastic case color.
Nice. I don't know what color I got either.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one I got. If I got a windowed one, I don't even know.
The silent one, yeah. Oh. It is, I mean, like, not having reviewed it, it does look very promising with the full PSU shroud in the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. It looks great for just starting out, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, stay tuned for that. I will be taking a look at that, so I'm pretty pumped.
Nice.
So, talking about, online storage. So, last year, Google ran this promo where they'll give you 2 free gigabytes of their Google Drive storage. Doing the same thing again this year. All you have to do is run a security checkup on your account, make sure your passwords and your contact information is the same, and they'll add 2 gigabytes onto your Google Drive.
Nice.
Which is nice because my Google Drive gets full a lot of the time because we share a
lot. I was going to ask, what's the limit even?
I don't think there is a limit on what do you mean?
Like on a basic account, what?
I don't know if they do limit it. I think you can just, you know, add on.
But I mean, like you fill it up, right? What's the, you know, I don't have any extra storage on mine. How much stuff can I put on it right now?
What do you mean? I don't get
it. Like just a standard Google Drive without any extra add-on.
I believe when it started it was like 5 gigs, but I have like 17 gigs. I don't know.
Okay. But 2 more will be nice because it's free, basically.
There's the sneeze.
Bless you, Bob.
Bob's done. I knew it was coming.
It's such a simple thing.
I don't know what the, like, if you just have a single Google Drive account that you haven't, hold on, I'm sneezing again. sorry, guys. If you have a single Google Drive account that hasn't been, like, you haven't done any of these promos or anything, I'm not sure what the basic account has. I couldn't tell you. But this just gives you 2 gigabytes. So it's nice. And this actually is to celebrate, what is it?
Safer Internet.
Yeah, Safe Internet Day.
Yeah.
And we believe this promo will end on the 17th. So go ahead, sign your Google account, run the thing, get 2 more extra gigabytes so you can store things. We use Google Drive pretty much for everything we do on ThinkComputers. Well, between Google Drive and Dropbox. I use it for a lot of stuff. So having an extra 2 gigabytes is definitely nice because that means you don't have to buy their pro, or, you know, the pro version or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
more storage. Yeah.
And this great about this, if you have multiple Google accounts, you can keep, you know, you can add 2 gigabytes to one, 2 gigabytes to another, you know, it just makes it easier. So definitely go ahead and we have a link to the page that you go to and you can run the security checkup and you get 2 gigabytes of free storage, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel a lot better than when I sneezed. You know, you have that, like you know, you need to sneeze and now I feel a little bit better.
Awesome.
Hopefully it wasn't too loud for you guys.
No.
Okay.
Hopefully we can make it the rest of the podcast.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I have this case again. So now you guys know that I actually am sick. I'm not making it up. So talking about internet stuff and all that, Windows finally put up on their website the changes that they're making to Windows 10. So anytime a Windows 10 update rolled out, we had no clue what was in it, no clue what they changed. They kind of kept it secret for whatever reason. but they have a new Windows 10 update history website, and it's cool. So they list the updates, and they have all of the updates in changelog form, which a lot of people are really used to reading. So it's nice. So it's just like you know what they're changing now. So maybe something in the update doesn't work for you or something. You know what they've changed. So it's kind of a long time coming for Windows 10. And it's just nice that they've done that. And we also have a link to that in the article. So if you want to see what's new on Windows 10, you can go ahead and, you know, you can just bookmark that site because the site is – it's one of those sites that's just it's automatically updating. You know, it's not one site this time, one site next time, you know.
Right, it's the same.
It's the exact same page, so you can go ahead and bookmark it, and you can see what the changes are to Windows 10, which is cool.
Yeah.
Still not on a Windows 10 over there, huh?
On my netbook, or my Ultrabook, but no, it's getting obnoxious, too. Windows is really, really trying to get me to update. if you leave your computer idle now, it pops up a big screen in the middle of it, and there's no, like, turn-off option or anything.
They're telling you to come to the good side.
I have no need to. Why would I do that?
The thing is like I did it because I was on the what's the program called, the
Early Access.
Yeah, so I really wanted to check it out.
So, well, I mean, it's good because you were able to provide information to, you know, for Think Computers about it.
Yeah, for sure. So I really liked Windows 10. I would say you're running 7. It's not a huge deal, but there's a lot of things that just make it more convenient. It's like little things and, you know, little – it is
– you know what, though? I actually heard from a friend who had to increase the voltage on his 3770K overclock because Windows 10, it takes more – it's less stable
than 7. You talk about all these issues. I haven't had really any issues, major issues.
Yeah.
With it, when I first installed it, the Corsair. This is just software related, but what is the Corsair software called? The
Corsair Link.
Corsair Link didn't work correctly, but then you had to like go in and change like a line of code to make it work. Now you don't have that issue with the newer version of Corsair Link. You don't have that issue at all.
Yeah.
I haven't had any other really major issues with it. I like
it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't care at all on my Ultrabook. It's fine, but yeah. I'm not gaming or power user on that at all by any means either. So I don't know if I would find things that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm a power user on the desktop. And I do game on this desktop, and I, you know, I do video editing and all that kind of stuff, and this is the main desktop. So. I like it. I would say, again, if you're a Windows 7 user, you don't have to upgrade. But I would say that if you want to, it's now in a good place. It's very, very stable from what I've experienced and from what I've heard from other people.
A lot more compatibility.
Yeah, a lot more compatibility. Again, for the longest time, like, Corsair Link didn't work correctly. The Intel overclocking utility didn't work correctly. Now all that stuff works.
Yeah, there were definitely a handful of things that weren't set up for it
right at launch. Yeah, right at launch, for sure. And, I mean, I was running it for, like, a couple months before launch, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when DirectX 12 is, you know, proliferated throughout all games, essentially, all the AAA launches, you really won't have much of an option if you want to see those enhancements in-game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, eventually at that point, I'll probably have to, but... for now, I just don't see. I don't really like to mess with things necessarily. If like it's running fine, right?
Yeah.
Don't change it so that I have another headache because it messes up.
For sure.
So.
So talking about well, not exactly DirectX 12 because it's not a DirectX 12 title. We have some Division news, which I played the closed beta. Now we talked about the open beta last week. We got the leak on it, and now it's actually official. So we will have a open beta on all platforms. That's PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. It will be, so Xbox One, they have the deal with Division, so they'll get 24-hour early access starting February 18th, and then PS4 and PC players will be able to join on February 19th, and the open beta will run through February 21st through the end of the day. So that would be a fun weekend for gaming, coming up next week. That's next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend. Yeah. Yep.
And what's cool is that they released a new trailer that goes over the enemy factions in the game, which is kind of cool. So you kind of learn about what the different enemy factions are and kind of what their whole deal is, which is cool. So yeah, I'm excited for the open beta. Also, our second story on Division is that they're going to be adding things to the open beta. So if you played the closed beta, and if you played it a lot like I did, you kind of got to the level cap. You kind of did most of what you could do in it if you played it for all 2 or 3 days that it was open, which I did. So they've added some cool things. So first, there's when you get to your base, there's different wings that you could unlock to do different things. So the medical wing was the only one that you could really go in and change and get upgrades and stuff. Now they're going to be opening the tech wing, which is cool. So you'll get new, you'll be able to obviously unlock the tech wing, and then you'll be able to do get upgrades, tech upgrades to your character, which is cool. And then there's going to be Dark Zone updates. So different things in the Dark Zone are going to be changed. They have a full kind of change log of everything that's going to be changed, which we actually have in the post here. So you can go ahead and check that out. So it's nice that, you know, if you did play the closed beta and you're thinking the open beta is going to be exactly the same, it's going to be different. There's actually a whole new mission as well, put in there as well. And they've added cheat protection and prevention and all that kind of stuff. So if you already have the beta installed, all you have to do is download the patch, which is about 1.7 gigabytes, and it's a lot of changes. So,
How big was the original beta file?
26 gigs.
So you're almost at 30, well, 28 and a half, 29 gigs for not even the full game. This is gonna be a heavy, it's gonna be a big game.
It's a lot of fun. If you have a chance to play next weekend, definitely just check it out. Just to check out the gameplay mechanics, the UI is really cool in the game. I really like it.
And it's a good chance to just try the game. I mean,
If you're even thinking you might get it in the future, just like I played Star Wars. I haven't got Star Wars yet, but I'm gonna eventually get Star Wars when I actually have time to play games. It gave me the ability to try it and play it, and just like with this, I might get this game. I do like it. It's going to be interesting to see what else they add, but this is a game that I would definitely play. You know,
And you've been
so
waiting for it, so.
yeah, and this is a game that I actually might play with a controller on the Steam machine, to be honest.
Really?
I kind of, yeah.
Huh.
So,
Interesting.
yes. So I'm really excited for the game. Again, open beta, check it out. It's all platforms too, so if you're a console gamer or something like that, or you just have a console, you can play it on Xbox One, you can play it on PS4, you can check it out. And I believe they're going to be doing cross play, which is
Oh.
the console players will be able to play with the PC players.
That's just not fair for them.
Well, yeah.
Poor guys.
Yeah. So I believe that's going to be going on. They're going to be testing that at least, I think, from what I've heard.
Do you know if there's preloading?
You should be able to preload it. I knew when they did the original closed beta that you could preload a couple days before. So I would assume they're going to have that exact same thing going on. I don't know if it's available right now. You have to go to Uplay, download the Uplay launcher, and then open it up.
Oh
But
man, I forgot it was
yeah, so it's
Ubisoft.
yeah, but you know, go ahead and well, if there is a preload date, we're gonna get info about it, and we'll definitely let you guys know. I've been following this game pretty heavily since it was launched, or since it was announced, I mean.
Right.
So if there is preload, we'll definitely let you know when you're available to preload. It's usually a couple days before, so maybe like this upcoming Wednesday or probably Wednesday or Thursday, you should be able to preload if you can't already, but I'm not sure. I can actually, let me see, because mine is I'm part of like the closed beta, so let's see if it will try to download anything for it.
If you can actually do the update.
Yeah, because it will have to update. Oh, I have to log in. I don't remember login.
Oh boy.
Yeah, let's see if I did this right. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited for the game. That's not the right one. Let's see if this is. I always
I
say
mean,
that.
it looked interesting, at least. I've just, yeah, never been
Let's
a
see.
fan of the series,
So
so I
yeah,
haven't been following.
it's not in my game library anymore.
Oh, okay.
So it's gonna probably pop up here as like, try this out, you
Yeah.
know, just like
Yeah.
how all the other ones do. So yeah,
Okay.
definitely. I'm pumped to play the open beta. Be more players in there, more things to do, higher level cap, I believe, as well. So,
Okay. And everybody will start over, it would seem.
I would
So
believe so, yeah.
you probably won't have an advantage from having played the
Yeah.
open or the closed.
Yeah, so a lot of cool stuff, and it's nice that they list all of the changes that they've made since the closed beta, which is cool. So
For sure.
definitely pumped. Talking about another game that is coming out, Hitman for PC.
Yeah.
The PC requirements were revealed, which are not super heavy.
No.
Minimum requirements for Hitman. So Hitman, they're also having an open beta the exact same weekend. So Hitman is supposed to launch on March 11th, and the open beta, which will be available through Steam, is starts February 19th. So same weekend.
Yeah.
So if you want to get some gaming in for if you want to get some gaming in this weekend for free,
Yeah.
it's definitely a good weekend to do it.
Try some games out.
Yeah, definitely. You can try both games out, and it's definitely, definitely some cool games. So the minimum PC requirements for this is a GeForce GTX 660 with 8 GB of
Yeah.
RAM, which most people should have. And then the higher end, the recommended settings are a GTX 770,
Yeah.
Radeon R9 290, 8 GB of RAM. So.
Yeah, quite low. It's so funny, like the PC crowd is sort of jaded. We see super high system requirements and we're like, "Oh, how can you do that to us?" And now all the comments I've been seeing on this are like, "It's so low, this game is gonna suck."
Yeah, you never
Or
know.
it's just really well optimized, you know?
Yeah, you don't know.
Nope, you don't. It's just funny.
But yeah, some awesome gaming coming up this upcoming weekend. So, or not this, not this. Today's Friday, not tomorrow, but
Nope.
next weekend. So yeah, get in. Maybe we'll give you guys our Uplay names if you want to play with us. On or at least play with me in Division, because I will for sure be playing. And I'm gonna hopefully get Derek on there since he has a new graphics card.
Yeah.
And if he has time, we'll play. Yeah, maybe
You
we'll
will see.
get some other people on there, Jack and Oz and some of the other guys.
I'm thinking we should probably do that.
Yeah, so have some fun doing that. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And because of my sickness, I was not able to get this review done. It's literally almost done. The Cougar 450K keyboard, which you talked about last week. This is their high. This is the one that has the hybrid mechanical switches,
Yes.
which and it's splash proof. It's really cool. I will have the video up this weekend too. My video is going to obviously go over the keyboard and show you the lighting and all that stuff. So that will be up this upcoming weekend. Definitely stay tuned for that, and the review will be up next week for sure. Promising you guys. So
We'll hold
definitely,
you. We'll hold you to it.
yes. So definitely stay tuned for that. Also, next week I have a motherboard. Hopefully, I'll get the review done of this. Motherboard reviews are always very long for me because it's a lot of testing. So we have an X99 board. So this is kind of like the second coming of X99 boards that we actually saw. We saw this at CES. This is the Gigabyte X99P SLI. And the big thing about this board, it is the world's first USB IF certified Intel USB 3.1 controller with the Type C connection. So a lot of these motherboards that you see say, "Oh, we have USB 3.1," but it's the Gen 1, which is only 10 gigabits a second. This is 32 gigabits a second USB 3.1. So super fast transfer speeds.
Yeah.
USB Type C connector. So for all those new devices, this is gonna be an awesome board.
Yeah.
Also, this is very, very similar to the Gigabyte UD4H. X99 UD4H, but they've added some cool things to this board. They've added the shielding on the PCI Express slots, which is a nice addition there. Some other stuff, which I will go into in my full review, but always solid X99 boards from Gigabyte. So we actually
Yeah.
use the UD4H as our graphics card test bed. So
Nice.
that should tell you enough about how much we like their boards.
Yeah.
So yeah,
And
definitely.
this is their sort of farewell to X99, right? Well, I believe. That's what I was told at CES anyways.
Yeah, this is kind of going to be their last. The boards that we saw at CES are kind of like the last X99s, because we'll have the new ones coming out around Computex time from what we know. So
Right.
definitely be a good it's going to be a good year, man. Like,
Oh,
we have
definitely.
all of these new graphics card stuff. We're going to have obviously new
We have a new chipset, I
yeah
mean.
we're going to have a new high-end chipset.
Yeah, high-end chipset.
Which I'm pretty pumped about. So,
along with some added cores on those chips, right?
From what we know, yes.
Yeah. So very, very exciting for the super high-end user.
Yes, yes. So also, I'm going to try and work on the... I say try because I'm really sick right now and I have no clue what I'm going to get done next week. But I have the CryoRakes H5 Ultimate in. So last year I reviewed the CryoRig H5 Universal, which has the smaller fan on the front.
Yeah.
So they call it Universal because it's made to fit on everything with a smaller fan. This one, I believe it's the exact same heatsink, but we have the larger fan on the front, so even more performance out of it. This is our super high-end cooler. When we tested the H5 Universal, it was one of our top CPU coolers out of probably 20, which tells you a lot. So I'm really excited for this. I hope this takes over our number one spot in our new air cooling build. Because I think we've only tested 4 or 5 coolers in it, so we don't have a huge test group right now. So I'm excited for this cooler. The other one had really easy installation, didn't have any issues. So I'm pretty excited to see what this one can do. Definitely pumped for it.
It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, and big, heavy, there's a little cooler.
Yeah, there's a installation video that's embedded right in their page for it. It looks incredibly easy.
Yeah, it's not super hard.
No, it really looks like it's just going to be a boss for performance.
Yeah, so we'll see how this does. I'm pretty pumped for it. To be
cool,
honest.
Man. Yeah, so. I don't usually air coolers.
The thing I've always liked about CryoRig is their marketing is great. Their website is great.
Yeah.
Their videos and installations and everything is just done. They're just done well. Their packaging is awesome. It's just they're okay. We know exactly what we're doing with marketing. We know exactly what we're doing with our product. We know, you know what I mean? They put it all together. Oh, yeah. I can see their installation video now. It's just done super well.
Yeah. And I think that's key.
Yeah. It just makes it look good. It brings more people around to your product, too. Definitely.
The simpler, the better.
Yeah. So definitely excited. I'm excited to take it a look. I really liked their H5 Universal. So this should be even more performance. And it's going to be exciting to test it on a more mainstream system. Our old system was a super high-end system, so we're mainstream. So you guys kind of get a better feel of installation, for one, because instead of doing it on 2011, we're doing it on 1150. And so you get a better idea of cooling on a more mainstream processor, which we're using the 4790K.
Right.
Or 4970, or whatever. That we're using that one.
4970.
Yeah. And then finally, again, if I do get to it, I'll be taking a look at a really cool Bluetooth speaker. This is the Braven BRV1. A really nice Bluetooth speaker, pretty big Bluetooth speaker.
It's beefy.
It's rugged, it's waterproof. It's IPX7 rated, so it protects you against rainfall, water splashing. It can be submerged in water up to 1 meter deep for 30 minutes. Shockproof. It's cool too because it has a USB out, so you can charge your device with the battery that's built into it as well. 12 hours of playtime. It's a really cool. Excited to take a look at it. We haven't reviewed anything from Braven, so I'm pretty pumped to check this out. I am a huge PC guy too, I really like a lot of the cool mobile stuff that's coming out. So reviewing these speakers, because there's so many of these speakers out, and so many of these speakers are garbage.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I'm really excited to take a look at this.
It's good to filter through the junk and find the good ones.
Yeah, because we want to because I think a Bluetooth speaker is one of those things that I think so many people have. All of my friends have one.
Oh, yeah, everyone has one now.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, a lot of my friends have crap ones. So it's good to tell you guys what the good one is, what's the ones that we would actually recommend to you. Because, again, there's so much crap out there. It's the same thing with, battery chargers, mobile chargers, mobile power banks and stuff like that. There's a lot of crap ones out there. So it's good.
Yeah, the market got, flooded in the past.
Yeah. Because it's such a big market. So
yeah.
I'm excited to test this out. I can't tell you if it's good or not yet, but it seems to be. It's one of those ones that you can take to a party and stuff like that. You can throw around because it can be submersed in water. You can it's rugged design too, so you can kind
poolside, beach.
Yeah. Yeah, that type of thing. So that is what's coming next week. Did you do anything exciting this week?
I really didn't. It was Battlefield 4 a week for me.
Still playing that game, huh? Well, I was away, as I said, and now I'm sick, so that's not good. I saw Deadpool last night,
And?
which I was extremely excited to see, because I think Ryan Reynolds is the perfect person for the movie.
Because he starts so sarcastic.
Awesome movie. The opening credits are phenomenal. Like the opening credit, like it the movie had you laughing from the opening credits.
Nice.
But it's still an awesome action flick, right? So that was really cool.
So you felt it portrayed Deadpool well.
Very well. It was it, there's a lot of funny moments, and there's probably a lot of things that you don't even see. Again, he makes they make fun of the studio a lot, which is funny. They make fun of Green Lantern, which is funny, which is a movie that Ryan Reynolds was in.
Which is key because that movie was horrible.
They make fun of Wolverine a lot.
Nice.
There's a lot of little things in there. There's probably things that I didn't even notice that are in there that I'll have to watch it again. But yeah, and I don't go to a lot of movies, and well worth the money for me.
Nice. I am hoping to go over this weekend.
Definitely worth seeing. So, it's the first time I've gone to see a movie on opening night, I
Ever?
think. No, in a while.
Okay.
Like, because Star Wars, I waited till the next week.
Yeah,
And
you
that
waited
was
a
a big
while.
one. That was what I was more excited for than Deadpool.
Yeah, that was the one.
But yeah. So that's what I did this week. Hopefully I'm not sick by next podcast. I'm
Yeah,
still
hope not.
sick. That'd be bad.
Because I mean, that's 52 weeks. That's our year.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. Yeah, that's like that's bigger than number 50. 52 is like I gotta have to send you some champagne or something.
Yeah.
We've been talking about sending you champagne since like episode 40, I think.
I think earlier than
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
But
Yeah, no, yep.
yeah, guys, as always, we have our show notes page, everything that we talked about, everything that's coming up, all the reviews that we did, it's all linked there. So as you're listening along, you can go to the show notes page and see all the articles that we talked about and get more information than what obviously we went over. And if you're on iTunes, just Think Computers, all one word, and every other podcasting service, just type in Think Computers, all one word, and we should be on there. If we're not, for some odd reason, let us know because we should be. But yeah, guys, until next week, hopefully I feel better. We'll catch everybody later.